This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
The mitzvah of mezuzah is given to us in this week's parasha, not only in this week's parasha, but in this week's as well. And on that mitzvah, the Tur makes an interesting comment in Siman Resh Pei Hei in Yerudeh. Mitzvahs asei lichta if parasha shema v'ayam shema v'likoivon al mezuzas ha-pesach. It's a mitzvah of the Torah to write the shema, the first and second paragraph, and to put it in a mezuzah on the entrance. But tzorich lizaher ma'ozbar, one should be very meticulous about this mitzvah. Kemoshe amru chazal, kol mi sheyesh lo tefillin berosho, anybody who has tefillin on his head, uvizroyo on his arm, v'tzitzis bevigdoy, and tzitzis on his clothes, u'mezuzah befischoy, and a mezuzah on his home, muchzak hu shelo yecheto. He can assume that he's not going to sin, he's not going to do anything wrong. Mipnei sheyesh b'mezuzah yichudu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in the mezuzah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's specific name. Whenever he walks in and out of his house, he will remember Hashem. And the fear of Hashem will be placed on his face that he will not sin. And that's why one has to be very, very careful with it. So it appears that every time one sees the mezuzah, one has to go through a whole emotional relationship with the mezuzah and what is contained in it. It's not just that to go through the motion of putting one's hand on it and kissing it. That doesn't do anything. What's important is what it does to you, not what you do to the mezuzah. People walk in and they give the mezuzah a clap on the way in, and they give the mezuzah a clap on the way out. It doesn't have any impact on the mezuzah. The purpose of the mitzvah is not for you to clap the mezuzah, it's for the mezuzah to clap you. And for that, it's the emotional relationship that is important. Then he goes on to say, V'chol ha-zoyer bo yarichu yomo v'mei bonav. And anybody who's careful with this mitzvah will lengthen his days and the days of his children. Being careful with the mitzvah means that you have this emotional relationship. It doesn't mean only that you put the mezuzah on. It means that when you walk in and out of the house, you actually think, as we've just described, about the mezuzah and what it stands for. It says, L'mayin yirbu yimeichim v'mei v'neichim. It's interesting how we don't really believe in the Torah. It's quite amazing how we actually don't really believe in the Torah. Because people are concerned about their lives. They go to doctors, they go for checkups, they take out life insurance, they do exercise, they're worried, people are concerned about their health. It doesn't enter anybody's mind as part of their health program, not part of their Yiddishkeit, part of their health program to make sure that they relate to the mezuzah correctly. That doesn't enter our minds, although we say it twice a day. We say L'mayin yirbu yimeichim v'mevenechim, and we say in the Shema, twice a day we say it. But one of the things to do in order to have a longer life is to remain conscious of what the mezuzah stands for, to be meticulous about the mitzvah of the mezuzah, is one of the things one has to do, l'man yirbu yimeichim, in order to have a long life. V'im eino zohir bo, if one isn't careful with the mitzvah, yis katsru, one's life is shortened. Also interesting, if you find people will go through and work out all sorts of reasons, imagine if we could persuade the insurance companies about this, that the premiums for life insurance for people who are careful about the mitzvah and mezuzah should be half the premium of everybody else. What's Hillel outside there? Yeah. Sorry? V'chein doshu chachomim ba'ovon mezuzah bonov v'nois of meisim ktanim. That chas v'sholem, by not being careful about the mitzvah of mezuzah, one can chas v'sholem lose young children. But there's something even greater than this, says the Tur. Now what can be greater? This is quite interesting. What can be greater than this? It says not only this, that one can have longevity, and one can have longevity for one's children, if one's careful with the mezuzah. He's having some problems. Are you looking for somebody if you come to join the shir? Okay. What can be more than that? Ugdolo mizeh, and even greater than this, something much greater than this. Not only can the mezuzah give you an extended life and extend the life of your children, but it does more than that. Shehabayis nishmar al yodo. You don't need a security company if you've got a mezuzah. The house is looked after. If you, having the mezuzah is not enough, I stress that over and over again. It's not a question of having the mezuzah. The important thing is how you relate to the mezuzah. Have you heard sometimes the Hasidim, when somebody's going through some trouble, what do they say? Check the mezuzahs. That's nonsense. And it's not nonsense. You can check the mezuzah. Nothing wrong with checking the mezuzah. But that's not what you should check. What should you check? Your relationship to the mezuzah. What is the mezuzah doing for you? That's far more important to check than check the mezuzah. It's not important, and it's not good enough to have a mezuzah on the door. The important thing is, how are you relating it? What is the mezuzah doing for you? But if it's right, if your relationship with the mezuzah is correct, habayis nishmar al yodo, your house will be protected. Ask the Bach and the Beis Yosef, why is that gedolah mizu? Why is that even greater? It should be the other way around. If you've got a mezuzah and you do it properly, your house will be protected. And even more than that, you'll have a long life, and your children will have a long life. How can it say the first result of the mitzvah is that you'll have a long life, and your children will have a long life? And if Chas V'Shalom one isn't meticulous about it, it can affect the longevity of one's children's lives. And more than that, they won't even steal your hi-fi set. What's then more than that? That's not more important. Why is that given as the greatest of all, the Gedolah Mizeh, and even more than that? Shabbayis nishmar al yodah. The house is protected as a result of this. Why is that so important? Answers the Beis Yosef. V'afar gav de yoser choviv la'odom arichus yomim b'shmiras habayis. It's true, if you had to choose which reward you wanted, you would certainly rather choose length of days than protection of the house. If you had to choose one or the other, that's a greater protection. Nevertheless, the two refers to the protection of the house as the greater mitzvah, as the greater reward. Mishum, now I'm not going to give you the answer. First I'll give you another Gemara. You stew on the answer a little bit first. There's a famous Gemara when the story of Unculus is the classic translation that we have of the Chumash, the first translation, second translation, and it's the classic that we still use till this day. It's a translation of the Chumash from the original into Aramaic. And it's a wonderful translation because not only does he translate, but he very subtly interprets according to Chazal. It's the most authoritative translation that's ever been made of the Torah. But Unculus wasn't born Jewish. Unculus was a Ger. He was a Roman, and he converted. What was the story? How did he convert? The Gemara says in Avodah Zorah, Unculus ben Kalunimus Igye. Unculus converted. Shoda, he was a relative of the Caesar of the time. Shodar Kesar Ginder de Romeo Basre. This was a terrible blow to the Romans. One needs to realize that for the Romans, the battle against the Jews wasn't just the Romans against the Jews, it was Roman culture against the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's why I mentioned on Tisha B'Av when we went through the kinos, that one particular kino that talks about Titus's battle against God. Titus didn't battle against the Jews, he battled against God, and when he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, that was a victory against the Ribono Shel Olam as far as he was concerned. And when the Unculus was a Roman converted, that was a terrible blow to the Roman culture. So they sent, the Caesar sent a band of soldiers after him. Mashchinu Bikroi, he started teaching them the same things that they taught him, Psukim and Torah, Igyur, so they also converted. Hodar Shodar Gunda de Roimori Achrinu Abasre, so they sent another band of soldiers. Omar Luhu, he said to them, the Caesar said, Loi same relay veloi midi, don't talk, just fetch him. Don't get involved in conversation, just catch him and bring him home. Kiavushak of Azri, by the time they came there, Omar Luhu, he said to them, Eimo luchu milta, let me just tell you one thing before we go. Ba'alma in the world, gifura nokat nura kame pifura. A lower army officer will hold the torch in front of his senior. Pifura le duchsa, duchsa le hagmona, hagmona le kuma. Each one will hold the torch before the man who's greater than him. Kuma mi nokat nura mekame inshi? Does the king ever hold the torch in front of the people? Amrulele, they say, no, of course not. Amalu akudush boruchu nokat nura kame Yisrael, but Hashem does do that for Yisrael. Dichtiv Hashem hilich lifneihem yoimum. When the Jews were coming out of Mitzrayim, Hashem walked before them, holding the fire, lighting the way for them. That's what Hashem does. It's a different kind of culture, this. Igur Kulu, they all converted. So he sent another band of soldiers. Omalu, he said to him, absolutely no conversation. Go and capture him. Kinakti Leva Azli, they came along to find Unculus. Chaz a mezuzah to the mancha apischa. They saw the mezuzah on the door. This is Yodei Arav Omaluhu Maihai. So Unkel said, "Do you see this on the door? What do you think it is?" Omrule Emelanat. Have a clue what it is? You tell us what it is. Omaluhu said to them, "Minhago Shalilo Melech Basov Adam Yeshev Mivifnim VeAvodav Meshamri Moisav Mibachutz." A king normally sits in his palace and he has guards around the outside. V'ilo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Avodav Mibifnim V'hu Meshamram Mibachutz. But with Hashem, it's the other way around. We sit in the palace and Hashem stands outside and guards our homes. And the mezuzah is there for that purpose. Shenem, as it says, Hashem Yishmo Tzeschol Vechem out of the Adalam. Igyur, so they converted as well. And that was the last one he sent. And in fact, it's for that reason that we put the mezuzah on the outside of the door. That the way the door opens, we put the mezuzah on the outside of the door to give expression to that principle. That the mezuzah is outside the house, the Ribbono Shel Olam stands outside the house and protects us on the outside. So this idea of the house being protected is central to the concept of mezuzah. And so important is it that it actually caused the conversion of this last group of soldiers that were sent to capture Unkelus. It made such sense to them, it was so beautiful, it was so deep and so profound to them, that as far as they were concerned, it was worth converting for a religion like that. It's really funny, a person who's considering conversion came to see me this week. She's a woman and not involved with anybody, she just wants to convert. And I was questioning her about it, and she said, she just kept on saying, you Jews are so lucky. You're born with it, and you don't know how lucky you are. She said, one mitzvah. I would convert just for one mitzvah. And you've got the whole lot. Look at this, all they hear about is one mitzvah. That Hashem stands outside the house and protects us. For them, that's enough to convert. And we see it, and we know it, and we're aware of it, and it just doesn't make an impact. We walk in and out of the house. It doesn't affect us. So now let's go back to the Beis Yosef's kasha, to the Beis Yosef's question. Why is it even greater that the fact that God stands outside the house and protects us, why is that so important? And the preferred, the greater of the rewards that result from the mitzvah of mezuzah. Even greater than longevity is the fact that God protects the home. The answer to that question is something that you need to live in Gauteng to understand. I don't know if you can understand the answer living anywhere else in the world. That's one of the advantages of living in Gauteng, that there's a Beis Yosef that only we can understand. Listen. Lefi is answers Mishum da Arichus Yomim Hu Nes Nista. It's true that from keeping the mitzvah of mezuzah, one can have a longer life, one's children can have a longer life, but that's a Nes Nista. It's a hidden miracle. Who knows about it? You don't know how long you would have lived. All you know is at whatever age a person dies, all you know is that you've got to believe that because of the mezuzah it's longer than it would have been otherwise. But you can't prove it. Nobody can know it for sure. Ushminas habayis hu nes nigle. The protection of the home is an open miracle. Sha'adorim b'sha'ar batim she'en bohem mezuzah nizukin. Because the people who are living in other homes without mezuzahs are broken into. V'hadar b'vayis she'esh bohem mezuzah nitzu. And people living in a home with a mezuzah are saved. That's an open miracle. That's not a nes nista. Now that doesn't mean that chas v'sholem, as we know very well, that there are homes with mezuzahs who are broken into. It can happen. But there are two things to be aware of. Number one, who knows chas v'sholem what the damage would have been if it weren't for the mezuzah. Number two, one doesn't know what kind of relationship the individual has with the mezuzah. It's not just enough having the mezuzah there. As we've said, the importance of the mitzvah is what the mezuzah does for you every time you walk in and out of the house. But it is interesting that, I don't know if there are police statistics, we can check it out, but Canaan Horror, it doesn't happen that often. The number of housebreaks in this area alone is so enormous, and the Jewish population in this area is so concentrated. It feels, and I would like to check it out sometime, that the ratio is not right. That it's not, the Jewish homes are not broken into in the same proportion as there are the number of Jewish homes in this area. The mezuzah, there's a shmiras habayis, the mezuzah protects the house. What's important here is an idea that develops further from what we learned this morning in the Ladies' Shir, and one aspect of what we learned in the Ladies' Shir, which I'll summarize for you again. And that is, we live in a violent society. And that's true, and that's very disturbing, and it's not something we should accept. It's something we should do everything we can to object to and to fight against and to rectify. But one has to find the benefits too. What are the benefits? I explained that there's an interesting posuk connected with the plague of the locusts, which doesn't appear with any of the other 10 plagues. Before the plague of the locusts come, Hashem says to Moshe, this one is Laman Tesaper Bozne Vincho of Ne Vincho Es Asheri Salalti B'Mitzrayim, in order that you should explain to your children and grandchildren how I dealt with Mitzrayim, the Es Oisai Asher Santivom, and the signs are placed there, Vidatem Ki Ani Hashem, and you will know then that I am Hashem. In other words, the plague of the locusts, more than any other plague, has the capacity to teach knowledge of Hashem. What's so specific about the plague of the locusts? What's so important about it? So I pointed out two interesting facts about the plague of the locusts. The one, the Medrash says, is that when Moshe warns Paro, he says, Hinani mevi mochor arbe bigvulecho, I shall bring tomorrow locusts in your borders. And the Medrash says that the entire earth, the whole land of Eretz Mitzrayim was covered completely with locusts. If you looked at it from above, you would have just seen locusts. But you would have seen them laid out exactly as the map of Egypt was. There wasn't one locust with the tip of its wing over the border. The entire area of Mitzrayim was covered, and not 1 millimeter of the neighboring territories were covered. It was only within the borders. The second thing that's of interest is that when Moshe prays to Hashem to remove the locusts, a western wind came and blew them all away. And we're told, Loi nishar arbe echod b'chol gvul Mitzrayim. There wasn't a single locust left in the entire area of Mitzrayim. And Rabbeinu Chananel says, brought in the Ramban, that means not only that there wasn't a single locust left that day, but me'eis ateres Moshe Rabbeinu v'adachshov, from the time of Moshe until today, Rabbeinu Chananel's time, ein arbe mafsid b'chol gvul Mitzrayim. There has never been a locust causing any kind of destruction in the land of Egypt. And sometimes there have been plagues of locusts in Israel, and a few locusts have flown over to Egypt as well, but they've eaten nothing in Egypt. They've caused no destruction in Egypt until today. So what we see in the plague of locusts, different to any other plagues, is the enormous sense of control and limitation that God places on his plagues. Only within the borders of Egypt, not one to step out, and only at that time, never again. He limits the space and he limits the time in which the plague applies. And therefore he says to Moshe, this is something you need to talk about. Because through understanding that, through analyzing the way I punish, Vidatem, you will know Ki Ani Hashem, and he uses Yudkei Vovkei, which implies the God of kindness, not the God of justice. If you look at the way I punish, you'll see that even in my punishment, there is kindness. That even in my punishment, there is limitation. I don't punish indiscriminately. I don't punish wildly. If I punish, it's to alert people, to educate people, to communicate with people, to show them the consequence of their actions in a particular area, but not 1 millimeter beyond that will I punish. That's the chesed of my punishment. That's the kindness that there is within the punishment. And so we need to understand that when negative things happen, if we believe they come from the Ribbono Shel Olam, in those negative things we need to be able to find the chesed, we need to be able to find the kindness. Yes, it's a bad thing and it's serious, but what can we find that benefits us? In what way can we learn something from it? In what way can we enrich ourselves from it? So one can focus on the situation of crime and violence in South Africa, and in particular in this area, one can focus on the crime and one can become very negative. As one can focus on any negativity and become very negative. And there are many people who have the tendency to do that, and it's very sad when that happens, that people focus on the negative and that's what they see, and that's what they talk, and they start complaining, and then they become embittered and they become bitter people, and it's very sad when one sees that happen. But it's possible to do it differently, and that is that this way, I say it sometimes and people think I'm being flippant, but I'm not. One of the wonderful things about living in Gauteng is the joy you have every time you go outside and your car's still there. It's like getting a new car every day. You don't expect it, and it's there. It's actually there where you left it. And the radio's still in the car. There's been no attempt to take it. The car is there. It's like a new car. Each day you accept. But, you know, maybe you'll have your car this day. Maybe it'll be gone. And each day you've got your car again. It's a brocha all of the time. It's as if you're given a new car every single day. That's a very special experience. And so it is. You come home and you find your house is not broken into. So certainly if you go away for a Shabbaton for a weekend and you come back and there's been no attempt to break into your house, it's a wonderful feeling. The Ribbono Shel Olam is looking after you. It's not normal, it's not natural, the normal thing in this environment is that your house will be broken into. It's a nace, it's a miracle if your house isn't broken into. It's a miracle if you've left a car outside and it's still there when you get back. An absolute miracle. And if I had a meeting at my house one evening, and there were Jews were there, and there was one guy who was there, a very fine guy. And everybody who was there had BMWs. It was funny. So there was a whole row of BMWs outside the house. Mine was the smallest and the least conspicuous. You can imagine what the others looked like. There was this whole fleet of BMWs outside. One was the guy. Never, he's got stolen. One has to look at that and one has to say, at the end of the day, that living in a society where the norm is destruction, being saved from destruction is a miracle. That's a nice. And one has to tune into the nice. That's no reason, as I said, to accept it or to take it lightly or flippantly or to in any way celebrate it. On the contrary, it has to be fought and resisted. But on the other hand, one has to look at it and say, every time that one's saved, to find some pleasure, to focus on the positive and say, the Ribbono Shel Olam has looked after me. Another day, the Ribbono Shel Olam has looked after me. Very often people will say, when they do have a problem, and if there's a hijack or a car is stolen or the house is broken into, what have I done wrong? What have I done wrong? But you won't find people saying every day that they're not broken into. What have I done right? That the Ribbono Shel Olam looked after me today. Why me? Why is my house okay? Why is my car still there? Why is he taking care of me? What does he expect of me? That he's taking care of me. And it's not only in that area. It's an area of disease. We're living in an area where people never have their illnesses around. A lot of illness around. It's normal almost for people to get ill. It's amazing that people don't get ill. And one has to look at each day that one has good health. Say, Ribbono Shel Olam, why is he looking after me? What does he want from me? The need to tune in to the miracle of, not even success we're talking about, just the miracle of survival in a hostile environment. The miracle of being okay. That's a nes niglis, says the Beis Yosef. That one has longevity and one's children live, that's a nes nistor. You don't notice the miracle. But that your house isn't broken into is a miracle. And that's a nes niglo. And then he said in his time, in the Beis Yosef's time, he wasn't living in Gauteng in the 1990s. He was living a long time ago in Eretz Yisrael. And even there he said, in Tras. And even there he said, it's a miracle that your house isn't broken into. Why shouldn't somebody break into it? Why shouldn't somebody come and take something? There are a lot of people around who are not trained in the ethics of restraint. There are a lot of people around who will take anything that they can find that's free. Why shouldn't they come and take something of yours? And if they don't, that's a miracle. That's a nes nigla. What happens when we walk around living with that kind of approach? We need to see that in a number of areas. If we take that a little further, one of the areas where we see that is in where the Chazal tells us, Lefichach nivra kol odom, Lefichach nivra odom yichidi. That's why Hashem created only one man, and he didn't create a group of people. If he wanted to populate the world, why didn't he create 10,000 people right in the beginning? Create one man, from the man, a woman, and then they have children, and to start building up from one family. Why didn't he create a whole tribe? And the Gemara says, because he wants us to know that at the end of the day, the world is worth, it is worth having a world even for one human being. Which means that every part of the creation has some kind of relevance to me as an individual human being. And therefore, what does it mean, Rav Notah Hirschwinkel talks about it, what does it mean when we say, HaMechadish B'tzuva B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'aseh V'Reishis? We say in the davening, the Ribbono Shel Olam, who every single day recreates the world. The world was not created and programmed to just carry on. There's actually a process of recreation every day. And as we learned in the latest shiur today, that's not hard for Hashem. To create is easy. And he recreates the world every day. And now scientists are beginning to understand what that means. That there are aspects of the atom that are recreated every day. It's not just that we look at matter and it seems to be fairly stable, but it isn't. It's actually changing all the time. We don't see the changes. There's an illusion of stability. But it isn't stable, it's continuous, there's movement, there's change, there are little things that are being born, little things that are dying, all the time in all the matter around us. As we've discussed before, the very cells of our own body aren't the same. The body is continuously regenerating itself. You look at your hand, it's not the same hand you saw a few days ago, it's new cells. They've been created from fresh. What do we mean when we say that? Every single day Hashem is recreating the world. Recreating the world for who? For me. That's what one has to be able to feel. To be able to feel the nes niglo. Just as one is able to feel, my house has been protected, nobody's broken in. For who? For me. Who protected it? Hashem. Does that mean that Hashem was standing outside my house? Yes. That's what it means. Does that mean that while I'm in here and my car might be there when I get back, when we finish the shir? If it is, does that mean that Hashem was standing and watching over it? Yes, that's what it means. Isn't that trivial to think such a thing? No, that's exactly what Unkelus's point was. That it's not too trivial. That Hashem cares about each one of us sufficiently to stand outside our houses all night. To stand outside our houses all day. To stand outside our cars and to watch over them. That's what Hashem does, and it's important enough for Him to do it. What does that mean for me then? Then there's a responsibility. How would we feel if some important person did that? How would we feel if you walked outside, you found your car there, and Mr. Mandela's there? He said, I was looking after your car for you. And Mr. Mandela now, not Mr. Mandela 10 years ago. And he says, I'm just keeping an eye. There were some tzotzis here, and I was looking after your car. And you say, my goodness, Mr. President, you looking after my car, have you got nothing else better to do? He says, no, I haven't got anything else better to do. The fact that you should be okay and happy and everything is in order, there's nothing more important for this country than that. What does that make you feel? I better do something. He's expecting something from me. And if it's the Ribono Shel Olam himself who's doing that, who's watching us each step of the way, that means he expects from us. And we need to question, what is it that he expects from us? Why is he giving us this? And so it goes with each thing that we do. Each brocha that we make, if not the Hirsch asks, why don't we make one brocha on apples? Finish for our lives. Make a brocha on an apple. And why do you have to make another brocha again if you have another apple an hour later? Or a week later? Or a year later even? Make one brocha the first time you eat an apple. And have in your mind that this brocha should cover all the apples I'm ever going to eat. And likewise with all the other food that you eat and all the other pleasures that you have one brocha. Says Ibn Tarish, because the revelation wants you to understand each time, where does this apple come from? Hashem provided it for me. Not just generally provided apples and I happen to get one. He provided it for me. When did he do it? The bracha is not in the past tense. The bracha is in the present tense. Boire pri ha'etz. He did it now. He is in the process of creating fruit for me. And that's what I'm making the bracha for. It brings the Ribono Shel Olam and myself into face-to-face contact in the present. Around the object that I'm using. That's the nature of the bracha. And so he says, if you look at all the brachas that we say in the morning, Malbish Harumim, Roikoharetz Al Hamayim, Eter Yisrael Betif Oro, all the brachas we make in the morning, thanking the Ribono Shel Olam for making firm ground on which to stand, thanking the Ribono Shel Olam for giving us clothing, thanking the Ribono Shel Olam for giving us eyesight, thanking the Ribono Shel Olam for giving us a mind, all these things, they're all in the present tense. We don't say thank you Hashem for having created it sometime in the past. Each day we say the bracha again, thanking Hashem for creating it right now for me. For me. And with that comes a sense of responsibility, a sense of enormous joy and pride and self-esteem. And together with that also a responsibility. So how do I reciprocate? Why is he doing this for me? What does he want from me? Why is he giving me the energy on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis? What have I got the energy for? Each thing that we do, each opportunity that we have, we're able to question in that particular way. The Lubavitcher Rebbe once said to me, what does it mean there's no coincidence? It doesn't just mean that there's no coincidence. You need to know. Every time the telephone rings, every time somebody walks past your office, every person you cross in the street, no coincidences. Each one is an opportunity. Whether you pick up the opportunity, whether you're tuned into the opportunity, whether you understand the opportunity, that's what it means to believe that there are no coincidences. Not that just occasionally something happens and you say, isn't that amazing? Look how I met. Every moment of your life. You need to know that Ribono Shel Olam is providing you with opportunities which you might or might not tune into. But if you gear into this kind of thinking, he's doing this for me all the time, and yes, I am important enough for him, then one's whole relationship to Ribono Shel Olam starts shifting, one's relationship to oneself starts shifting, and one's sense of responsibility starts developing. That concept is something which one sees expressed also, if not the Hish brings, in the wording one finds in the Chumash, little words that one doesn't notice. What does it mean when it says, for example, Vayiso Avrom es eino vayaris hamokho merachok? Avrom lifted up his eyes and he saw. What do you mean he lifted up his eyes and he saw? Of course he lifted up his eyes, otherwise how would he have seen? Why are we told he lifted up his eyes? Explains, because that was a deliberate action. Our eyes are open and we're looking all the time, but we're not actually looking. We're seeing, we're just, our eyes are open to stimulus. But who's controlling, who's directing? Is the stimulus being controlled by the external and we just happen to receive the stimuli? Or are we choosing to look? That's Vayiso Es Einov. It's a deliberate choice to look and to notice. That's what it is. And if you don't deliberately look, you don't notice. When it says, Vayisa Avram Esainov Vayaris Hamakum Erachok, that Avram lifted up his eyes and he saw the mountain in the distance, had he not deliberately chosen to perceive and to notice and to observe, he would have missed it. He wouldn't have seen the mountain. It wasn't pointed out. Nobody came and said to him, there's the mountain. And as we know, the Yishmael who was with him and Eliezer who was with him, they couldn't see it. They didn't notice it. The power of observation, what you notice, depends on how much weight you place on what you're looking at. If what you're looking at is really important, you'll notice all the most amazing things. You'll notice things that you didn't notice before. If you're looking at something and you're saying, the Ribbono Shel Olam put me here in this position to see, to look, to notice, what you'll only notice, what you'll notice on people's faces, what you'll notice on their expressions, what you'll notice in situations, what you'll notice round about, all sorts of things you'll pick up. One becomes very intuitive, one becomes very responsive to situations. And that assists one in every manner of way. It assists one to function, it assists one to respond, it assists one in a business sense, it assists one in an interpersonal relationship. That's what differentiates one person from another, is how much you notice. It's not the brains that really differentiate, it's how much you've noticed. To be able to pick up that there's a need, to be able to pick up that something's happened, to be able to pick up that something's changed. That's what differentiates one person from another. Eizehu Chochom, who is a wise person, says the Chazal, Haroya is Hanoilod. To see, what does Noilad mean? Not the future. A wise person is one who can see that which has already been conceived. The moment it's conceived, that's what differentiates. That's what gives a person the edge. The ability to be alert enough to notice the conception of something new before other people notice it. Because he's alert, because he's awake to it. Why is he alert and awake to it? Because he believes there's a deliberateness, there's no coincidence, there's a deliberateness to where I've been placed, to the situation I've been placed, and what I've been confronted with. The same applies with Vayiso Yaakov Raglov Vayilech Arzo B'nei Kedem. Yaakov lifted up his feet and he went to the lands of the west. What does it mean? The lands of the east. What does it mean he lifted up his feet and he went? What does it say he went? Each lifting up of his leg, explains Reb Notzer Hirsch. Each time he lifted his leg, he asked himself, so to say, he went through the thinking process. Hashem has given me the energy to lift up this leg and to walk in this direction. He's given me the energy, there's purpose. What is the purpose? Why is he giving me this energy? What does he want from me? What am I meant to be doing with this energy? The whole thing becomes so much more deliberate and so much more focused if he understands the value and the meaning of that which he's doing. And that's the meaning of the Tur, when the Tur says that this mitzvah is so terribly important. Yes, it is. And it has effect on longevity. Yes, it does. Or gedolo mizu, but there's something even greater, something that had the power to convert that last band of soldiers that came to fetch Unculus. Something so great. Shehabayis nishmar al yodo. Look around at the crime and the violence and see, as wild as it is limited. It's not everybody, and it's not all the time. Which means at certain times I'm being protected from it. Why am I being protected from it? Says the Tur, because of my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam that I express when I walk in and out of the house and I see that mezuzah and I don't clap the mezuzah, I let the mezuzah clap me. I think each time I walk in and each time I walk out, what does Hashem want from me? What does he want from my life? What does he want from my home? What does he want from my walking into my house? What does he want from me as I walk out of my house? And if that's what we think, and if that's what we focus on, says the Tur, not only will we find longevity and good health, but we will find a sense of deliberateness, we'll find a sense of relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam that is absolutely focused. We'll find a sense of the Ribbono Shel Olam that focuses our mind on what he wants from us. And we'll find ourselves identifying opportunities. We'll find ourselves responding to opportunities, doing what needs to be done, and feeling the safety, the security, and the caring of a Ribbono Shel Olam that is concerned.